Let's begin our Sunday School Hour in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his great commission. And Father, we are challenged by it, but Lord, we're also thrilled by the purpose it gives and the great cause we are privileged to serve. And so we pray your blessing on this entire missions conference, and we pray particularly for those who we serve alongside who've been able to join us this weekend. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our speaker is not here yet. They'll be here very shortly. It affords me the opportunity to make a few remarks about why we are so committed, and we are committed in a growing way, towards what we call missions. It's really the Great Commission. Peter Szabo mentioned in our sermon this morning our mission statement. I hope you notice that our mission statement is a derivation of the Great Commission. I was in the Army for many years, and not once did higher headquarters say to the lower headquarters, "What would you like to do today? Do you feel like attacking? Do you feel like defending? What mission would you like?" We never invented our own mission. We received our mission. And Jesus, before he departed, he gave the mission of spreading the gospel. Go, therefore, making disciples, a very robust definition of what evangelism is, not just decisions, but making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the folding in, reaching out with the gospel, the folding them in. That's church membership is bound up in baptism. And then there's growing up. It's sanctification. And teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. That is the biblical definition of missions. Now, because of that, we are highly biased in the types of missions partnerships we make. Now, pretty much, if God calls a young man or woman from our church to the missions field, that person's very likely to get very good support from our church. And so Katie Upton is recently in Liberia and in West Africa, and we are in good touch with her. I was recently with the Rafiki Foundation. That's the group she's with, and I taught there, in fact, last week. And they said, we sent her to our hardest place because she is one of the strongest Christians that we have sent out in recent years. And I said, what's so tough about it? They said, the climate. It rains all the time, and it's hotter than blue blazes. That's my rendition of what they said. But and so when our church members go, we are thrilled. I pray for children raised in our church. I prayed for God, if he wanted to, send my children. We have a number of families in our church who have children who are far away in places like China and in distant parts of Europe, and it is our privilege as a church to do that. When we partner with a church, you may notice that our missions committee is very attentive. Their ears are up, and when they are spying for good opportunities for us to partner with, and that's how we got to know Peter Szabo. He's connected to churches that we are often connected to. There are the usual suspects of supporting churches. When you look at who's supporting him, it is the usual suspects. And sometimes it's us, bringing them in to support our missionary. Sometimes it's them bringing us in to support their missionary, as it were. We actually got to know him through Greenville Seminary, where he's working towards a Master of Theology degree. But he is supported by the usual list of suspects, strong Reformed churches in the Southeast. But you notice what we're really interested in, it primarily, is aggressive church planting works. We believe, in keeping with the Great Commission, that evangelism is done in terms of church membership, and that means churches and churches that preach, and then the churches themselves evangelize. Peter was talking to one of our church members who's from Ukraine at the door today, and they were having a lively conversation about the gospel in Ukraine, and you could tell that he knows what's going on in Ukraine. I don't know what's going on in Ukraine other than what's in the news. That's a lot. But he knows what's going on in the spiritual condition there. And so when we have church partnerships and we are used by the Lord to make those church partnerships strong, they then have regional effects. It is an absolute thrill. And so the things that we really love are sound, godly, reformed churches and men, and where they are planting churches and growing churches and with a strong commitment to the means of grace and with our prayers and many other prayers, the Word of God is being blessed by the Holy Spirit, and that is always going to involve pastor training. That's always going to be one of the things. In fact, I started reading a history of the Hungarian church because our dear Hugh Player has brokered a visit. The plan is I'm going to go preach in Budapest. So I don't want to be the typical American who mispronounces all the names. So I'm reading a book on the history of the Hungarian church. It's fascinating. But one of the things that is in that book is a very strong commitment to Christian education for their children and the schools and the seminaries, the training of men. We always like to see partnerships where they're training new pastors and they're training evangelists. And so we're getting to know someone new, Peter Szabo, this weekend, and it's right in our sweet spot, which we think is best in keeping with the dynamics of the Lord's Great Commission. Now, Roger Dye, who's our other missionary here, his father was the first missionary sent out from our church. I don't know. He talked about that in some of his venues. He may again today. He was looking at our list of missionaries, and his father led Guillermo Salinas to the Lord in Mexico. And so, he has a long service in mainly Chile, and he realized there was a great need, and this is so true in South America, for biblical teaching on marriage and sexuality and those sorts of things. So that's his ministry now. He's serving the region, and that will happen sometimes too. What a privilege it is for us. You know, one thing for us to remember, I'm going to have Verlin come up and lead us in singing, then the Dye should be here shortly. The reason this age of the world exists is the Great Commission. Why has Jesus not come back now? Why did he go away and not, as the disciples wanted him to do, to bring the glory of the kingdom right then? And the answer is the elect. I'm so grateful because I'm one of the people who was saved because Jesus didn't come back before 1990 in my case. And we know of all the hustle and bustle, and the world doesn't pay attention to this, neither the right wing nor the left wing media thinks that this is what's going on in the world. It's all the great affairs of nations and corporations and all of those things. We know the most significant thing happening in the world today. In fact, it is the reason for which this age of the world exists, is the missionary spread of the gospel. And so we as a church, we find an excitement in being able to do that. We're going to, I don't want to preempt it because the year-end financial results have come in, and when we often have surpluses, as we almost always do, it gives us an opportunity to do exciting things with missions. And I look forward to hearing from our missions committee. I think we're likely to schedule a congregational meeting for an informational meeting sometime in the next month, and we'll give you the details on those sorts of things. But we want what the Lord is giving to us to be, and we live in America, where we are the recipients of the theological heritage. There's a sense in which we're not the only ones, but we are largely the stewards in our time, by the providence of God, of the theological treasury that Paul speaks about, and which we know is the Reformed faith, the good deposit. We're not the only ones, but we are in large measure, and so we have got to get out into the world and spread, and pastor training, and you know the VBSs were these. Peter, I have to say, this morning I was thinking about the possibility of a VBS. Do you have any building needs? Yeah, well, yeah, let me tell you what, these guys can build a church wall, lay a church foundation for you. They can do manual labor. And these ladies primarily, VBS is one of the spiritual gifts of this church, I can tell you that. And all we need translators and, you know, clean water and a little food. And think about that, would be fun. But God has, I sometimes wonder if God has spared America. And the wickedness of our nation is so profound that why has God forestalled the judgment that seems to be, you know, working up now? Surely one of the reasons is the impact of the church worldwide. And we are, in relative terms, greatly financially blessed. And so we are committing, in fact, every year, not only the amount, but the percentage of our of our giving towards mission is going up. And it should be, and it is, I know it is. It should not be, how much do we have to do? It's, oh, how much can we do this year? Because the impact, often the exchange rate, it makes the impact multiplied. I don't know how that is in Hungary. It's often true in Latin America. But it should be a particular sense of joy to us. Not only the high quality, biblically speaking, of our missionary partnerships, but that we can really make a significant difference to them. And we pray, Peter, we pray that our partnership will be a tangible help to you, and we pray for that to grow.
Good morning, everybody. The dyes have arrived. They are located in Winnsboro, South Carolina, so they drove here today and obviously had a little bit of issues on the way. But I want to say a couple of things about not only missions but also the dyes, because I say this from a very humble heart, is I appreciate and enjoy the fact of being the missions chairman of this church, because it gives me a perspective of what's going on around the world with missions and the need for missions. We'll hear a little bit about from Latin America this morning in a few minutes, and we hear about what's going on in Hungary and other parts of the world. Now, we have a combination of at our missions conference. We have the dyes who have been longtime friends and longtime friends of myself and of Second Presbyterian Church. As Rick mentioned, we supported Roger's father as a missionary in Mexico, and now we're starting supporting a new one in Hungary. Now, I've known the dyes for a long time. Thursday night was the first time I met Peter face-to-face. We've corresponded a number of times, and we've done Zoom a number of times. But Thursday night was the first time that I met him face-to-face, and I felt like there was an immediate bond between us because we are brothers in Christ. And so I think that's true with a lot of our missionaries and a lot of the around the world and so forth. Now, Peter is staying with me, and Peter has been asking me a lot of questions about the church and things, how we do things, and that's to try to learn. And I do pray that some of the information I've given him has helped him some in his work there. So I pray that it all be the glory to God for that. So let me go ahead and introduce to you Roger and Laura Dye. They come to us, like I said, from Winnsboro, been longtime friends of this church. And before I turned it over to them, I do want to mention one thing. We have this booklet of our missionaries. I would like for you to take this booklet and use this booklet, because this has all our supported missionaries, a picture of them, picture of their families, and also the location around the world where they're located. Use it for your prayer time. Don't let it just sit somewhere, but use it as you pray for our missionaries. So get one of these booklets. It's usually right outside the library. You can find a number of these booklets there. And also, I would ask you to come back this afternoon at 5 o'clock, because we have a special prayer time for our missionaries. So if you would be here for that, I would appreciate it. So I will now turn it over to Roger and Laura.
It is really great to see you all. What a great full gymnasium. I don't remember Sunday school being like this when I was here at Second Pres. To give you an idea of when I was here at Second Pres, I used to be taller than Mel Duncan. So that was when I was here. but thank you for having us. I said, Roger, don't you have a joke about being late? Because we're late today, but he doesn't have a single one. But we're really glad to be with you, really glad to be here. Really great to see you all. My parents were, our family was a member of Second Pres many years ago. And I also heard for the first time the names Dick and Ann Dye. When I was here, but I never met my husband until the year we got married. So Second Pres has a very special place in our family on both sides. You all supported Dick and Ann Dye, and starting in 1972, they were one of the first missionaries with Mission to the World, serving 40 years in Mexico, and that just we've had the trickle down love from that for us as a family.
Give them a quick update on the kids.
Oh, my goodness. We have four children. Our oldest is 28, and she lives in Guatemala Island near Charleston, and she works with horses, the love of her life. She manages a barn there. Our second child, Isaac Dye, is married to Elsie, and we now have two grand boys. They are the most beautiful grandchildren. I know that you all would agree with me, but they live very far away. They live in Tacoma, Washington. Hudson is finishing his junior year at the University of South Carolina in electrical engineering, just like his grandfather, Leon Park. And our daughter, Susie, is 18, finishing high school, and we call her our drama queen. She likes musical theater quite well, but she hasn't made a decision about college. And for those of you who know my mother-in-law, Ann Dye, she is doing quite well. She is 82 this year and got more spunk than all of y'all put together, I believe.
We'd like to thank those of you who are praying for our grandson Jasper that was born 3 months premature in May. He's doing well, growing like a weed now. So thank you. It was in the hospital for 2 months, and a huge praise is that their insurance paid everything, nearly $250,000 for those 2 months. That was a fantastic blessing. As most of you know, we were in Chile for 16 years doing church planting with Mission to the World. And the biggest obstacle that we kept running into over and over and over again was trying to get new men ordained into leadership, whether it be for the pastorate or elders or deacons. And it just struck me after several years of that as a missionary kid, every time my parents would drag me to another missions conference, the one thing I could guarantee you is that every single missionary from Latin America would always have the same prayer request. They would say, pray for more men in leadership. We cannot get enough men in leadership. And it struck me that in Latin America, the issue that we were having, couldn't get men in leadership, was because their marriages and families were weak and failing. And that's why they would never step up, because they didn't have a firm foundation from which to minister. So after beating our heads into the wall for several years, we just took a step back. It had been a disappointing time because there were 8 guys in training, and every single one of them stepped down and said, no, I can't do it. And every single one of them gave the reason of their family situation. So rather than continuing trying to train men for leadership, we stepped back and started training men and women in what it is to have a biblical marriage, to be a biblical husband and father and wife and mother. And that made all the difference in the fellowship of our congregation, in the strength of the congregation, and in the leaders that were eventually able to step forward. It's a bleak outlook for the church when there are no leaders for the next generation. But it gives great hope when you see men coming forward solidly backed with their wives and with biblical background to be able to minister in their own communities.
We were in church planting in Chile for a long time, and when the church was planted and particularized, the next thing we did was to just approach this from our perspective, doing marriage seminars up and down the coast of Chile. And so it was a natural thing to join family life because they were the only materials that we could find in Spanish that were scriptural. I told the ladies yesterday that we found two kinds of literature, one that said, bring your wives chocolates and everything will be fine. And before I could get to the next side, they said, what's wrong with that? and the other was an extreme legalistic view. So there weren't very many options. So family life provided us many tools, many books, many videos and things that we used throughout Chile until we finally joined them and joined in this process of providing tools to our partners in Latin America.
One of the unexpected benefits that we've seen in making family ministry in Latin America, number one, it's a huge felt need. Latin America puts family upon a pedestal. I mean, it is the most important thing in life, but they don't know how to do it. And they're willing to listen to anything that will give them hope for the family because it's falling apart. The statistics on family and divorce in Latin America are worse than they are in the U.S. And when we look at our country, a lot of us lament the state of society and culture and the family. And we lament how far we have strayed from our Christian, biblical Judeo roots. But think how far off we would be if we hadn't had that base to start with. And that's how most of Latin America is. They did not start with the solid, biblically given foundation that our culture was founded upon. The second benefit is that it has united all denominations that we have run across. It used to be that in our ministry, whenever we would invite other denominations to a conference or a teaching or a retreat, they say, oh, no, thank you. We've got our own stuff. But as soon as the word got out that we were training men and women what it is to build their family relationships on Scripture, other denominations came asking us, can we do it too?
Can I tell them about Osorno?
Yeah, go for it. Want to tell about one other conference first?
Oh, you want to do that? Okay.
There were two couples sitting in the back of the room at our church that had come to a training conference. And nobody knew who they were, where they had come from. But after the conference, they came up to us and said, thank you so much. Our denomination is very closed, and if our people found out that we were here learning from you, we would probably be excommunicated. But our people need it so much that we had to come anyway. Not telling about ourselves.
Is that one
or
something? Is that one in?
No, that was from Santiago in our church.
There was one particular conference that just is humorous. That's why I wanted to mention it. In Osorno, down in Patagonia, you know, Chile's that long, skinny country in the bottom part they call Patagonia, and there's a town down there called Osorno, and Roger had been preaching all week long at this conference, and I came to join him for the weekend. And I came into the church, and the women were very kind. And one woman, she greeted me, "Oh, you must be Roger's daughter." And I went, "No, I'm his wife." And she said, "Oh my goodness, don't tell him." I said, "Well, don't tell him that." And she said, she said, "I wouldn't tell him." I said, "Let me tell him." And so,
I'm here with my daughter today. But it's at that same conference that we had gone to give it to our Presbyterian congregation down there, and they invited Baptists and Lutherans and two or three different flavors of Pentecostals. There were about 9 or 10 different denominations present, just the leadership. And between the breaks, there were 6 hour-long sessions, and between each break, between each session during the breaks, a different denominational group of 5, 6, 8 guys would come up to me and bring me off into the corner and say, "You know, Roger, the good thing about this kind of teaching is that it's our kind of theology." It's amazing when you teach biblical truth, all the denominations claim it. And the unity, the harmony that this has brought about in Chile among denominations that were always standing off against each other, it's beautiful to see what God does when he unites the church as a whole. Our current responsibilities were with family life. They had been intensely training in Latin America. We would travel to different countries to offer trainings 2 to 6 times a year, depending on the opportunities. But COVID kind of changed all of that. And although some people say that in their work, it kind of came to a stop, the demand that we have had during the lockdowns has been 5, 10 times as much. Because if there were any problems before the lockdown, if you have your entire family locked down in your tiny apartment for months on end, it's just going to multiply. So we were getting requests multiple times a day, "Please send us something. We've got to do something." Everybody was saying, "Well, we're stuck together. We can't go out. We might as well work on our marriage." So it's been a much more intense time, shifting from traveling to giving online trainings, but it's also been a hugely multiplying time. The lockdowns in Latin America were a lot worse than we have ever known. First of all, because most of the population lives in apartment buildings, not anywhere they have a backyard they can go out and get outside from time to time. And the restrictions were oppressive. For several months there, in many of the countries, they allowed men to go out of the house on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And women can go out of the house on the alternate days. And you can go out of your residence area for 2 hours a day. That was determined by the last few digits of your social security number. So they were under a much more extreme pressure than we were. And God has used that to bless families, to give them the time to receive biblical education on what it is that God wants from men and women as husbands and wives and mothers and fathers.
For a number of years, even as a church planting missionary, I heard from Roger that we really need an online digital library because getting materials into Latin America through the ports is just very difficult. In fact, someone asked me, "What books do you recommend?" And I thought, I don't recommend books because they can't get them, and some people don't read them anyway. So this is something that's been on Roger's heart for a long, long time. And it was always put on a back burner because there's too many other things that are urgent, too many people who need too many things. But with the pandemic, all of a sudden, all of our Roger's boss, and all of the global department, we need to get things online. So because all the ports closed down. And so all of a sudden, Rogers gets to do the very thing he's been dreaming about for a long time, which is to put as much material online for our partners as possible so that they can receive it without having to wait on a publication to come out.
So pray for that as we're trying to get our digital library up and running. Need to convert everything from print over to digital and make it available. The problem is that the credit card processing companies have issues with foreign countries sometimes. So pray that the people who are handling that for us would be able to get it up and running. We have probably about half of our things that are free and about half of them that we're required to charge a little bit for because it's a fairly new product. The last time we were in Panama, they had everything packed in tight, and the aisle getting up to the front was basically meant for one person. So I was heading up there getting ready to start the session, and Pastor Balo just stands up right in front in the middle, and I have to stop. There's nothing else I could do. And he said, "Roger, I just want to thank you for the things that you've been teaching us this week. My wife and I came here because our congregation has been so desperately needing this kind of teaching, and we didn't have anything to give them." He says, "I came here looking for help for them, but what I found was help for our marriage. You see, we have been unhappy for several years. Not going to get a divorce or anything, but we were just resigned to a joyless relationship in our marriage. But today, I leave this conference with hope for us and joy for us." About what? Almost. A pastor from the Dominican Republic, Jose Mendez, at the end of the conference, he said, "I came here looking for something for my congregation, but we found something for us. I have not been representing Christ to my wife, but today that is going to change." It's phenomenal to see what God does when he grips the hearts of his leaders and allows them to live out the love of Christ in their relationship so that they're able to offer that same love to those around. Now you can tell them.
Oh, okay. You know, we think about the prayers that Second Presbyterian has offered, and some of you actually have prayed for me since I was a little girl. I see Mr. Wheeler back there, played basketball on the basketball team with him. It's a precious gift to be prayed for by you all. I want to tell you about one person, though, not from Second Pres, but some of you may know her. Raise your hand if you know Austin Robinson. Is anybody? If I go down, where is that? Somebody knows. That's right. Some churches, I say, "Do you know Austin Robinson?" The hands go up and they say, "She led me to the Lord." Austin Robinson is a precious saint who's with the Lord now. You may remember Ruth Tinsley. It's her mother. Austin Robinson met little Dickie Dye when he was 5 years old in kindergarten.
My dad.
Roger's father. And she started praying with him when he was 5 years old. She continued prayer as he went to seminary, as he got married to Ann Solomon Dye. And then as they had children, Roger and Marie, she just kind of added them to her prayers. And then I came along, and I know a good thing when I see it. She added me in to her prayers. She prayed for our family for 70 years. She prayed 70 years for the generations of our family, my children. In fact, I took as many of my kids to see her in her last days, even though she didn't know which end was up. She had Alzheimer's. What was left in her mind was all the scripture that she had memorized and some songs. And she gave that even when she couldn't, she didn't even know her own name. So anyway, I say this to you because it's a precious gift to pray for someone. It's a precious gift to pray for someone for years. And so we encourage you to look at the booklet that you have that Hugh was showing you earlier.
Take that missions booklet and select one family in there and say,
several.
I'm going to pray for them for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. for them and the generations that follow after them. Secondly, I'd like you to look in on some of the children's Sunday school classes here and just pick out one child that isn't related to you and say, I'm going to begin to pray for that child for the rest of my life and for the generations to come. What a wonderful gift that we as believers can give to other believers.
Thank you.
Any quick questions before we have to run?
1 minute.
All right. What's next?
Close this out.
Okay. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the faithful saints who have lifted up the people of God since creation. We thank you for allowing us to participate in your kingdom work, not only through personal activities and ministry, but through the ministry of prayer. What a tremendous gift, Father, that your power would flow through us to bless others. Lord, I do pray for this congregation that you would bless Second Pres, that the flame that they are lighting in this community would continue to grow in brightness and strength and power, in attracting and drawing your people into your church. Father, I pray that when people are looking at their broken lives, their broken families, their broken marriages, say, I need to get things right. I need to get on a solid foundation. I pray that they will look towards Second Pres and say, that's where I need to go, because that's where people get solid foundations. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.